ATL Echo presents The Only Way Forward by Citruses. Chapter 1. Create. It's something he looks forward to every week now, stopping by Draco's Potions Lab to deliver ingredients cultivated in the greenhouse. He loves watching the colors swirl in their cauldrons, fluorescent and sparkling. He loves the sounds of Draco's magic moving through them, sometimes rough and scraping like crunchy gravel, sometimes joyfully splashing like water in a rushing stream. Today, Draco's creation is a vibrant aquamarine. Some of it has gotten on his robes. It's probably the most beautiful color yet, but Harry's not looking at the potion. He's having trouble looking away from Draco's hands.
"What's this one for?"
he asks, after it finally occurs to him he's been staring. Draco starts, like he forgot Harry was there. When he meets Harry's eyes, his cheeks have gone pink with a blush.
"This one is... it's for you, actually."
"For me?" Harry repeats, shocked.
"To help you sleep."
Draco's eyes drop back down to the cauldron.
"You mentioned the Dreamless wasn't working anymore."
That had been almost 2 months ago.
"Oh,"
Harry says, and a dam breaks in his chest.
"It's not ready yet," Draco adds quickly.
"That's fine." Harry stares at the line of Draco's neck, pale skin turned blue by the reflected light.
"I can wait."
Chapter 2. Resplendent.
"Bloody hell, Potter,"
I hiss. "Sorry." He doesn't mean it for a second. Couldn't exactly see where I was pointing, could I? He swings his wand around, illuminating the cave walls.
"Where are we?"
He answers my rhetorical question, like a git. "Sea grotto. Tide's out. But the moss doesn't glow like that on land." I stand up, politely aiming my wand away from Potter's eyes.
"Did we apparate directly into the lair of the creatures we were attempting to escape?"
He shrugs. The shining, blooming stone smells sweet, just before the point of rot. My head spins.
"Potter,"
I say carefully,
"what else do you know about this moss?"
Chapter 3. Horizon. It's one of those days that feels too long before it's even started. The early summer sun is oppressive, barreling up into the sky with no consideration for how hot and humid the morning already threatens to be. Harry is thinking, "At least it can't get much worse," when Neville tells him it's his turn to make the delivery to Malfoy. Chapter 4. Decision.
"The way I see it, we have two options."
Malfoy is ignoring him, pretending to read the specials on the cafe board.
"We can pretend it didn't happen and..."
"That. I pick that one."
Harry exhales through his teeth.
"I lied. That's not an option. It did happen, Malfoy. It changes things."
Chapter 5. Dreams and Reality. It's Tuesday. Malfoy is saying,
"There's still a host of side effects from the wormwood, like hallucinations."
"Don't they usually just give mandrake root for that?"
Harry asks. Malfoy rolls his eyes, says,
"Merlin forbid we try something new."
And Harry laughs. Malfoy surprises him by blushing. The blush makes Harry think about the thing they're not supposed to think about. He changes the subject. Chapter 6. Flare. The jealousy surprises him when it twists in his gut. Potter is walking arm in arm with someone Draco doesn't know. He's felt this sensation before, when Potter laid claim to the things that were meant to be Draco's, a broom or a higher mark or a morsel of glory, acridity and burning at the back of his throat. This is different. Potter doesn't have something Draco wants. Potter is the thing Draco wants. Chapter 7. Innocuous. It starts out as a straightforward errand.
Malfoy has ordered more siren moss than they have in stock. They can't grow it in the greenhouses, and because it's endangered, it requires a license to gather and a harvesting technique which promotes further growth instead of stifling it.
I was counting on the full delivery today.
There's a note of hysteria creeping into Malfoy's voice that makes Harry uncomfortable.
My whole batch will be ruined if I don't add the siren moss in the next 24 hours.
Harry's first instinct is to say something rude about piss-poor business practices. But Malfoy hasn't been so terrible the past few weeks. Harry can be patient. He points to the pile of moss sitting on a workstation.
That's everything we have. Sorry.
Patience is not, apparently, an effective tactic.
Mortified, Harry watches as Malfoy's face crumples. He looks like he might start crying.
Draco, what the hell?
Malfoy sniffs, hugely, his cheeks pulled tight with the effort of holding back tears.
It's fine. You're a shit liar. What is it?
Quietly, he says.
I'm going to have to close down the shop.
What?
Why? Because I've been operating at a loss for ages, and this potion took me half a year to brew, but now...
The danger of tears appears to have passed. Malfoy just looks tired.
Couldn't someone lend you the money?
Who?
My family's money is gone.
And then Harry hears himself say, actually watches himself do it, as if the real Harry, the sensible, not a total git Harry, is floating outside his own body.
I could.
Malfoy stares at him.
I'm not. I don't want your charity, Potter. I just want the goods I'm going to pay you for.
I don't have them.
Then where do you get the moss?
Perhaps they aren't fully out of the woods on the tears front. Malfoy's voice has gone suspiciously shaky again.
I'll go get some myself.
You can't harvest it. That would be illegal, not to mention horrible for the plants. It's happening again. Harry is hovering up near the ceiling, watching as some idiot wearing his glasses says,
If it's so important, let's go now, together, and I'll get you more.
Chapter 8 Will. It's become painful to see him every week, wanting what he wants and not taking it. Harry resists the urge to walk down the street Draco's shop is on. He invents a million excuses to bring Draco up in conversation and discards them one by one, petals plucked from the stubborn flower in his chest that won't stop growing, growing, growing. Chapter 9 Agony. Potter throws up a bubblehead charm, big enough to shield us both, and I fall to the ground, coughing.
All right?
He asks, eyes darting around the cave. I can't speak through the burning in my lungs. He kneels down, hand to the base of my skull, wand against my chest.
You're all right, he says, quieter.
I meet his eyes, bright even in the dark. He rubs my back, and now my skin is burning, too.
This isn't a species I've encountered, he's saying. It's not usually toxic, but your breathing is steadier already. You'll feel normal in a moment.
I think that's unlikely. His hands are still on me. Chapter 10 Rise and Fall. The tide is coming in, water lapping at the edges of Harry's charm. Soon they're underwater, watching the ocean through the soapy film of the magic.
6 hours till low tide, Harry says.
Malfoy's breath is still raspy when he speaks.
Do we have enough oxygen for that?
No, Harry thinks. Unsaid, they can't risk apparition like this, buried beneath water and rock.
I can synthesize some. From what?
Malfoy's face goes paler.
Not the fucking moss, Potter.
Grinning, Harry rolls up his sleeves.
It's that, or we suffocate. Now hold your breath.
Chapter 11 Curse.
I told you, Malfoy gasps, not to use the fucking moss.
Siren moss. When brewed, it's very effective in preventing a common symptom of seasickness, nausea. This particular species evidently has other side effects. Mild toxicity in its solid state, And when aerosolized to produce oxygen... Malfoy is gripping his trousers, knuckles white. Harry knows exactly how terrible he feels because it's ripping through Harry, too. Lust. Undiluted. It's taking every ounce of his self-control not to grab Malfoy by the hair and tug him down to the cave floor. The alternative was dying, Harry chokes out, staring deliberately ahead. He can still hear Malfoy breathing. Sexily, somehow. Dying would have been better than this, Malfoy snarls back. And why did Harry ever think for a second that he was decent? He's such a bloody brat. Harry wants to shut him up, and he knows just how he'd do it. Exactly what he wants to do to Malfoy's smart, soft, beautiful mouth. Only 2 hours to low tide, Harry says, and digs his nails so hard into his thighs that they bleed. Chapter 12. Vivid. Outside, it's bright and blinding. Burning. When he closes his eyes, he still sees the sun, and then the arch of a spine. The smell of damp stone.
Can you take us back? Malfoy grits out.
They're not going to talk about it. Harry shakes off the ghost of Malfoy's touch and steps forward. Chapter 13. Talisman. There's a pebble sitting on the window of his workstation. Its sides are so worn by the sea that it feels soft as velvet under Draco's thumb when he picks it up throughout the day. Sometimes he hasn't realized he's done it, until he hears it rapping against the desk, and looks down, surprised to see it in his hand. Foolish to have taken it from the cave. He'd told himself some story about specimens and samples when he slipped it into his pocket, but he'd never worked that hard to believe it, and there's no one else here to convince, is there? Draco is perpetually alone. Chapter 14. Humility. Delivery to Malfoy again. Harry had expected snappishness, perhaps even a hex or two tossed between them, and he finds himself disappointed that Malfoy is unfailingly polite each and every time. Blandly pleasant, as if Harry is any other vendor supplying his little shop. Harry lingers. A new habit. Malfoy looks almost irritated that Harry is still there, and Harry wildly thinks, good. What's your best-selling potion? Harry asks. He's not really that curious, but he's not ready to leave.
I suppose dreamless sleep, Malfoy says, doing something with his wand and not looking at Harry.
Harry hums. Must be nice. Stopped working for me ages ago. That gets Malfoy's attention.
Has it?
Harry nods, picking up a vial of something green. Malfoy finally meets his eyes.
That seems rather unfair. You, of all people, deserve a rest.
Chapter 15. Nothing and Everything. The dreams that plague him every night have changed. Instead of horrors, it's memories, morphing into fantasies. A salt-caked mirage, a gray-eyed phantom, taunting him. He wakes, and in those surreal moments before consciousness has fully returned, he wonders, why not? Dawn breaks, and the branching possibilities snuff out like a candle. Chapter 16. Squabble.
Potter, there's no need to continue coming in person. You may save yourself the inconvenience and post further deliveries. Sincerely, D.M.
Malfoy. Draco. It's no trouble. See you tomorrow.
Potter, don't be noble. Please return your reply with my weekly shipment. Sincerely, D.M. Potter. I fully anticipate that my request that you post this week's delivery will be met with the same bull-headed arrogance as it was last time. Regardless, I will renew my plea. Leave me what remains of my dignity and... Leave me be. D.M.
Chapter 17. Worthy.
Surely plenty of them die on the vine, Malfoy is saying.
eyes locked on Harry's hands as he snips a cutting from the ficus.
"This one won't," Harry says, smug. "Anything will grow new roots, if you give it enough sunlight and water."
"I don't believe you,"
Malfoy is smiling at him.
"Or is this another perk of being Harry Potter?"
Harry smiles back. Being Harry Potter means nothing here in the greenhouse. He's had plenty of failed propagations before. There are no guarantees. But this one will take root. He just knows it.
Chapter 18. Healing.
"The only thing for it is time," Ron tells him sagely, a stray bit of lettuce hanging from the side of his mouth.
Harry buries his face in his hands, glasses pressing painfully into the bridge of his nose.
"How much time?"
he asks, voice muffled by sweaty palms.
"Hermione and I have a bet going about that. She reckons it'll take about half as long as you've been obsessed with him to forget about him."
Harry looks up, hopeful.
"So that's what? A few more weeks?"
Ron gently sets down his sandwich to pat Harry on the arm.
"Oh, mate."
Chapter 19. Impatience. Harry paces within the narrow confines of the charm.
"One more hour."
Malfoy swallows. Harry can't bear to look at him.
"It's like I'm burning up on the inside," Malfoy says softly. "Like I'm going to die if I don't..."
Harry can't let him finish that sentence.
"No one has ever died from..."
The wanting probably won't kill him, he's almost certain. But the embarrassment might.
"From not having sex."
"Shows what you know, Potter,"
Malfoy says prissily. And it's not helping at all, hearing him talk. Harry casts about for a distraction.
"Think about something else. Think about Umbridge."
"Ugh."
Then Malfoy says slowly,
"Do you remember, in fifth year, when I caught your little club?"
"Yeah."
This actually is helping. Harry focuses on the anger he'd felt then.
"I finally had you where I wanted you, and I took your wand. I remember how it felt, holding it. It's longer than mine." "Oh, no. Malfoy," Harry says warningly. "I thought to myself, Harry Potter is entirely at my mercy. I could do anything to him."
Harry stops pacing. He turns around, Malfoy sitting straight up, eyes pinning Harry in place.
"What would you have done?"
Malfoy rises to his feet. He takes a single step closer, and the final, pathetic thread of Harry's control snaps.
Chapter 20. Push and Pull.
They come together like static electricity. Whenever one draws back,
"Wait, we can't, this isn't..."
The other is a step behind, still pushing closer, reigniting the chain reaction.
"No, never mind, let's just like this."
Stopping to undress is unthinkable. Clothes are shoved aside. Wherever bare skin touches bare skin seems to leave a mark. One of them says,
"I knew you'd be like this."
Neither is sure who it was.
Chapter 21. Unhand.
"For the love of Malfoy, don't touch that!"
Malfoy snatches his hand back, color rising in his high cheekbones.
"Haven't we learned our lesson about messing with strange plants?"
Harry jokes. It falls instantly flat. Malfoy looks like he's been slapped.
"Of course," Malfoy says, voice like ice. "Wouldn't want a repeat of that, would we?"
Chapter 22. Precious. When he thinks of Draco, he smells the sea. He sees eddies of cream-colored foam washing up on the beach. He's dying to touch, but he knows that to hold them is to make them collapse back into nothing. Salt residue and dirty water and air.
"Harry?"
he hears. Neville is waving a pot underneath his nose. The fresh, rich scent of earth pushes the ocean back from the shore of his mind.
Chapter 23. Mistake.
"Harry, I mean..."
Draco looks up, horrified.
"Yes, Draco?"
He can't fight the smile creeping across his face.
Absolutely not. Forget I said that.
Harry stands. There's a cauldron between them. He debates, vanishing it. No, no need for dramatics.
I don't want to forget, he says quietly, firmly. I can't.
Chapter 24. Elation. Potter is miraculously in my hands again. I hold him tighter, terrified as I am that he'll shatter beneath me, that I might be dreaming this. He's kissing me like he has something to prove. It's so unlike the last time, the longer it goes on. It's still going on. He's still here. His lips are wet. The skin just above them scratches the side of my mouth when he angles his head. My back is starting to hurt where he's pressed it against the workbench. My potion is forgotten, doubtless ruined. It's so much better than a dream.
Chapter 25. Day and Night.
He wakes and senses that he's alone. The moonlight proves it. He walks down to his kitchen. Draco is there, wand lighting up a corner of the table where he's scribbling notes.
What are you doing?
The wormwood. Draco doesn't look up.
I never figured out how to counteract the hallucinations.
Harry hooks his chin over Draco's shoulder.
So? Come back to bed.
Draco shrugs, the movement dislodging him.
I need to fix this.
Why? He's still pressed against Draco, and Harry feels how deeply he breathes in.
So that I'll know it's still real in the morning.
Chapter 26. Vex.
In the span of less than a year, he's gone from finding Draco Malfoy terribly annoying, to finding him irresistible, to thinking he's a pain in the arse again. Of course, Draco's still bloody irresistible, which makes him that much more of a pain.
"Leave that alone, Malfoy," he says warningly.
Draco pretends he doesn't hear him, and keeps poking at the Puffapod. He's pushed his sleeves above his elbows, and his collar is open. Futile measures against the humidity of the greenhouse. There's a streak of dirt on his face, where Harry had grabbed him earlier and held him in place so that he could kiss him. And kiss him. And kiss him again. There's a matching smear on his white shirt that he hasn't noticed yet, and Harry thrills privately at how annoyed Draco will be when he discovers it. It's all jumbled together now. What drives him mad about Draco, and what he loves? Wait, what he...
Chapter 27. Dandy.
I'm fine.
Draco punctuates the declaration with a yawn.
You need to sleep.
Harry reaches a tentative hand forward. Draco doesn't like to be touched, much, in day-to-day moments. Harry lets his palm hover above Draco's shoulder instead. Draco looks up at him and, relenting, moves within Harry's reach. His skin is warm through his jumper. Too warm.
You're running yourself ragged,
Harry says softly.
Chapter 28. Fetching.
I can't help but watch Harry when I know he's not looking. I never permitted myself the indulgence before, even though I could feel him staring at me. I'd thought him curious, morbidly so. After everything that happened, I would have believed a host of excuses. Guilt, shame, confusion. A scientific desire to splice me open and peer at my cells, the blood running through my veins, to understand what could possibly make such a contradiction of a person. I'm the one making a study of him now. I catalog his expressions and his moods. I'm jealous of the plants he moves from pot to pot and snips away at. I flinch when he touches me so casually, because I'm still surprised every time it happens.
Chapter 29. Thrall.
Draco pulls away from him. His words are carried by a low, pained gasp.
It doesn't have to mean anything.
Harry's brain takes a moment to catch up. His hands are lost somewhere under Draco's shirt.
What? If you're only...
Draco's neck is just there, right in front of him. Harry's already kissed it before he thinks to stop.
Harry! Potter! Stop! Let me speak!
Harry jumps back like he's been shocked. He's not touching Draco's skin anymore, and he puts his fingers in his pockets to hide their trembling.
Sorry,
he says quietly.
What? Potter, no, that's not what...
Draco looks down at him haplessly.
I just mean, I understand. Ever since... I feel it, too. Perhaps there's something lingering from the spell that we need to mollify.
It's not the spell, Draco. Harry grips his thighs. It's just you. For me, it's you.
Chapter 30. First and Last.
Draco Malfoy's opened a potion shop, Neville says to him.
Harry blinks at him.
Okay.
We supply potion shops, Neville continues, eyebrows raising significantly. He's going to be a customer.
You're having a laugh.
I'll handle the first shipment, Neville says, ever the peacemaker.
Too right you will.
Harry rubs at his temples, his head already starting to ache.
And if I ever have to go, it will be the last shipment.
Chapter 31. Fulfillment.
Here.
It's Friday. Harry hasn't slept at his own house in a week. Draco is trying to hand him something. It's obviously one of Draco's potions, but Harry's always been pants at the subject.
What is this? It's dreamless sleep, with a few modifications.
You finished it? Harry thinks back to the craters under Draco's eyes, the nights he's woken to an empty bed.
You shouldn't have...
Shut up, Potter,
Draco says, but he's smiling.
It took longer than I intended, but it's right now. It's going to work.
Yes, Harry looks up at him. He smiles back, certain of something he hadn't been sure of until this very moment. This is going to work.
ETL Echo. Echoing tales for everyone to love.